Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
8:12 is the time. Here's my song of optimism.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Oh, yeah.
I can see all obstacles in my way.
You know, I just didn't know
all of the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be
See, there's your song of optimism. You can see the obstacles, but it's going to be a sunny day. We're going to get through COVID-19. And it's my pleasure to welcome somebody who is helping steer this, as he said last time he was on, writing the book on response to COVID-19 in New Hampshire, Governor Chris Sununu. Morning, Governor.
Good morning. I'm not writing. I hope someone's writing all this down. I don't have any time to write anything, to write much of this down. I'm not, we're taking some notes, but they're minute by minute and hour by hour. And I got a whiteboard. And every day I put all this stuff on the whiteboard. We go through it with the teams. We strategize this and that. And then halfway through the day, I take a picture of it. And then I got to erase the whole board. And then we do it again. And we do it again. And we do it again.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my method. I'm a whiteboard guy. I don't really write stuff down on paper a lot. And if I do, I usually shred it and throw it away.
Well, the nice thing,
there you go, just like a whiteboard.
We kind of know this living in New Hampshire, but I'm sure your people showed you the story that was in USA Today yesterday. And the headline was Governor's Hand.
Who reads USA Today? My goodness. What, were you staying in a hotel?
We stumbled upon it. And it was outside the
door. It was a website. Okay, fine. Governor hands experts the mic during coronavirus briefings. And it's talking about in New Hampshire, Governor Sununu holds nearly daily news conferences where he describes executive orders or offers feel-good moments about charitable contributions to the state has 1,020 cases, 23 deaths. The governor said April 9th, this could spike at any moment, exactly what we're trying to avoid. Then Sununu steps aside for Lori Chevenette, Commissioner of Health and Human Services, or Benjamin Chan, state epidemiologist, to explain why the steps like staying home could, reduce the strain. But they were throwing you props that, yeah, it's not you hogging the mic saying, pulling an Al Haig going, I'm in control here. It's you handing the mic to the professionals saying, this is why. So the fact that a nationwide publication gave you props, I thought was great.
Well, no, I appreciate it. We have two problems. Number one, you just referenced Al Haig. Just dated yourself there, Boomer.
Yeah, I know.
As my son would say. For all of you under the age of 50, we'll get to what it's all about later.
Enjoy the governor's last appearance on this show.
Now, look, we're in this very unique position where I have to make, frankly, all the decisions in terms of how we're going to move things forward in a very substantial way. And that's tough. And there's a lot on our shoulders. And we bring in experts to do a lot of that. On the public health side, we are very fortunate. We have a great commissioner, a great state epidemiologist, and frankly, a whole great team behind them, right, in our state labs. And there's a whole team at Health and Human Services that all contribute to looking at data and making evidence-based decisions on what we want to do, not just what our gut tells us to do, but really looking at data. And that's what you have to do in times of crises, right? You have to sometimes push the envelope a little bit. I believe that if you're really going into the unknown, you got to push it a little bit, but also have a plan to how to come out of it and how to adjust and be nimble. The government typically isn't good at that. I think we've been very, very good at that, frankly. That headline, it was like governors and Trump or something. Yeah, it's more just a difference of styles, right? It isn't a battle with the president by any means, but we definitely have different styles. And I'm just focused, and I think most governors, I'm focused on the 603. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to look regionally. I work with other governors very well, Governor Baker, Mills in Maine, and Governor Scott in Vermont. And I talk to, two or three times a week, I'm on the phone with anywhere from 25 to 49 other governors. We're banging around ideas. We're asking questions of the federal administration. We're talking to ourselves about what's happening. So having those folks to lean on as well has been very, very important. But we're all a little bit different in our style. And, I was surprised by the headline at USA Today. But, again, I made the joke, I said, well, USA Today, I know that's always outside the, your hotel door at a hotel, and no one's really staying in hotels, so I don't know if anyone read the article with my picture on the front page, but anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they got General Mikulaitis. They still had him as colonel, which annoyed me.
But... Did they really? I didn't even notice that.
There was a picture of you with the general. Yeah, and they had Colonel Mikulaitis. I went, no.
We got two stars for the general now. Yeah. He's doing a great job. And let me tell you something about the National Guard. Can I tell you something here? They are doing an outstanding job. Everything you ask of our National Guard men and women, they are always there. Hey, can you set up something at the food bank? Done. Can you go run the call center for unemployment insurance? Done. They will train up and do anything you ask. It's unbelievable. And this state should be so proud of those men and women. They just keep knocking it out of the park, and they've been a real backbone, something that we can really lean on in those moment to moment, because I got to make decisions very, very quick.
Right.
Moment to moment, I got to be able to say, I'm deploying you here, I can deploy you there, I can move you there. And they're always willing to do it. They're always willing. So General Conway, General Mikulaitis, Colonel Fessenden, who set up all our surge facilities for the hospitals, that was the National Guard coordinating and putting together those logistics that were happening just in a matter of hours, and in a couple days we're getting those things up and running. They've done a great job. So can't thank them enough.
Well, and I'm right there with you in cheering on the Guard. So, union leader today, op-ed. You've got the legislative beer caucus on your side. I mean,
then I'm winning.
Was that
in the op-ed today? That is quite a look. The legislative beer caucus. I'm not. I know who the founders are.
Yeah.
That has become quite a group. It started with a bunch of people sitting at a bar or a brewery one day, and then it really grew into something very substantial. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people participate. A lot of people attend. We have great. They have great discussions. They invite me to go quite a bit. And I did hear they were putting an op-ed out. I didn't know if it was in the paper today, but they do quite a really good job, and that's they're a real differentiator in a lot of their communities. They every single one of them, they're always willing to stand up. They're willing to have a good, respectful discussion. We don't agree on everything, but that's what it's all about. It's about not agreeing and then finding a path forward. And they're very innovative, very creative group that always seems to do some really good stuff for the state. So God bless them.
Yeah. Well,
how was the op-ed? Was it okay?
That was obviously Howard Pearl didn't write it, but it was really. It was good. I figured Tim or Mike wrote it, but no, it was very good. And they ended up, the final words were, thank you, Governor Sununu.
Oh, that's great. So Tim Lang, Mike Moffitt, the whole gang there.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was started of this small group, but I've been to a couple beer caucus gatherings where there's literally hundreds of people there. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The following, they're like a little cult. They got a cult following. God bless them.
Well, speaking of cult followings, there is a cult on the other side of the aisle that is saying that you, and I really object to this, and I've made no bones about this, talking about your personal slush fund. That just galls me. It galls me no end that they're implying that there's personal malfeasance on this. And it's so just disingenuous to me. But you're trying to expedite the money to people that need it quickly. And I was talking with Senator Birdsell, Regina Birdsell, the other day, and said to her, the definition of a camel is a horse built by committee. And she started laughing, going, yeah, well, that's true. Because you start getting involved with committees, and the people are not going to see the money, and they need it now.
Yeah, so look, I mean, I'm going to try my best. At the end of the day, we're making some really tough decisions, and we are making them day to day, hour to hour, and minute to minute. And some of those decisions require moving a lot of money very quickly. And we've done, I think, a very good job. We are insanely transparent about it. We do it up front. As soon as we do it, we're telling the public. That's why I hold these press conferences every single day. I've created this Governor's Office for Relief and Recovery. There's over $1 billion coming in. That's a massive amount of money that requires a massive amount of responsibility. And I've created a legislative advisory group that is going to walk with us every step of the way. And we've already had open and meetings that people can actually dial in and listen to. The media's been able to listen to them. They're all 91A. It's all above board. It is all out there in the open, nothing done behind closed doors. We've talked to not a couple legislators, hundreds of legislators, frankly, legislators and the senators, and got them all up to speed, and it's going really, really well. Now, I know there's a desire on the Democrat side to play politics. It's disgusting. It is. And I shouldn't be as, I probably shouldn't be that aggressive about it, but it really is, because all that matters right now is public health and safety. That's it. And if they want to put this injunction, sue me, put an injunction in, slow the process down, force it to go through the legislature, there's only one thing that's going to happen. It's going to slow everything down. And we don't have time to be slow right now. We don't have time for the politics that they want to inject into this. It's really unfortunate. I was shocked when they did it. I can't imagine a judge is going to play politics like that and let that go forward, but you just never know. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'll do whatever the courts ultimately tell us to do. I'm following the 2002 law exactly as it was written, exactly as it was intended. If someone wants to say that law is unconstitutional, that's up to a judge. I guess they could do that, but they haven't done it in 20 years. Why would they start now? But I'm a big bearer of playing the rules, of course. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I mean, think of all that we've done. I put up $50 million to make sure hospitals didn't close. Boom. Right? That's literally on a moment's notice. The money can go out, and we made it happen. When we found out that we had an issue with domestic violence and child abuse, right? I created $2.6 million. We got it out right away, and I moved forward. I didn't spend weeks going to the fiscal committee and having it debated around, because you know what? People don't have weeks mm-hmm. with domestic violence. They don't have weeks with child abuse. They need those preventive services right now. And we got it done. Now, the legislature has a great place and a great process in what I'd just call normal times and normal budgetary process. Of course, that has to go through the legislature. Of course, they should be, you know, the kind of the power of the purse should lie with them. But we are in a worldwide pandemic right now. Mm-hmm. We are in an unprecedented state of emergency. And the governor, whether it's me or any governor, needs the power to move very, very quickly. We've done it well. We've done it responsibly. We've done it with complete transparency. And it's exactly why this law was written following 9/11, right, for these exact types of situations. It would be one thing if we weren't doing it responsibly. It would be one thing if we weren't telling people exactly what we were doing minute to minute, hour by hour. But we are, and they're getting the help they need. The $300 stipend the other day.
Yes.
I created a program to give an extra $300 mm-hmm. for a lot of these frontline nurses and workers in long-term care facilities or anyone that's working in residential Medicaid-based services. Mm-hmm. We made sure the PPE is there. We're going to make sure all the testing is there for them. And now we're making sure that they're actually getting paid and they're incentivized to come to work in what can be a very tough situation, as opposed to just sitting at home and getting the unemployment, which is a lot. And you have to appreciate that. So we've incentivized them to do that. And if I were to have to go through the legislature, if they get this injunction approved, that all stops. That's done. That is dead in the water. So to all those individuals out there who are going to benefit from that and keep those long-term care facilities moving forward and keep the elderly that are in those facilities with the services that they need, I mean, why we would bring that to a grinding halt for politics? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Well, didn't I understand that there was a UNH survey that said 60% of Democrats approve of your handling of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, no, look, people, if you go to social media right now, I think the Democrats in the Senate and the House are getting crushed on this, frankly. Even other Democrats are pining and saying, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Don't do this. I think they realize they've massively misplayed a political hand when, frankly, nobody should be playing politics, right? Mm-hmm. There's no politics in anything we've done, and that's what earns the public trust. In terms of what we're doing, transparency earns public trust. You know, calling the balls and strikes like you see them every day, in good times and bad, good decisions and bad, we put that right out there every time. And when you earn that public trust, it allows you to take the next step forward. And so, and we've had to make some very difficult decisions. And you don't do that quietly. Mm-hmm. And when you have $1.25 billion that requires metrics, accounting, auditing, accountability, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How's it going to be spent? Who's going to get it? Having this legislative advisory board work right alongside with me is the perfect solution, because now they can move as fast as we do, right? They advise how all those dollars go out. Mm-hmm. But you have some folks that just want to – the Democrat Party says, no, 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 we want to slow things down, throw up this injunction. Look, I'm going to do whatever the courts tell me to do. I always do that. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I can't tell you, there's no way it's in the benefit of the citizens of New Hampshire. And that's my only goal. That is my only pure goal. What is in the best interest of the health and safety, economics, and livelihood of our citizens? And I think people appreciate that. I think they appreciate my approach to that. I think we've earned that trust with them, and we're going to keep earning it because it's something that has to be earned and not taken for granted. But there's no doubt that this lawsuit is going to drastically slow things down and inhibit our ability to get people the relief they need. How about that plaintiff PPE? Yeah, you probably heard that example.
Yes,
I gave.
Yes.
Right? It is the Wild West out there, right? And when you're talking to China overseas, these manufacturers that are making all these PPE materials, we got the largest chartered plane in FedEx history to land here in New Hampshire. That wasn't because, you know, we waited around for the legislature to figure out what they wanted to do. It was because Dean came and put together this great deal. We got FedEx over here. We got the manufacturer there. You got people with cash lined up the door there. I kind of go to the front of the line. We cut this deal, and I have somebody on the phone saying to me, all right, Governor, I mean, Perry Plum is actually, this one wasn't on the phone. Perry was sitting in front of me at my desk. I had a guy on the phone saying, look, $4.6 million. Are you in or are you out? We're in.
Wow.
Now, if I have to tell him, hey, I'll get back to you tomorrow,
right,
or
right,
maybe the next day.
Right.
No, the deal is gone. Mm-hmm. And that PPE doesn't land, and all that equipment doesn't get to the frontline workers, and I have to be able to do it for testing materials, PPE, whatever we need to combat this crisis. I need the ability to cut those deals fast and make them go. And by the way, when I do that, I'm going to be able to do the next deal and the next deal and the next deal. We have another plane coming in, not quite that big, but we have more planes coming in because they know New Hampshire's a state that does business, pays their bills on time, and can get it done. Now, if I start saying no to things, I need the legislature to approve this tomorrow, I'll give you a ring back. No, I'm now at the back of the line, and frankly, they don't take my call again. So we're competing with the rest of the world for this stuff, and it is the wild west out there in terms of the deals that are being made. And mm-hmm. You know, I got to be able to move at very rapid pace for this crisis and for the COVID crisis only. That's all we're saying. These relief funds are just COVID, and stimulus funds are just for COVID. Everything else, of course, the legislature should be taking care of. But this is a very different situation. So again, I'm hopeful that we'll just get past this at some point. But you know, you never know. I mean, I'll play by whatever rules they give me. But you just never know which way it's going to go. I hope for the sake of the state that it goes the right way.
Some of the states south of us, like Mass, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, they are bonding together to try to figure out how to and when to jumpstart their economies after this. Do we have a? I know you're focused on the now. Do we have a plan for turning the light switch on and hanging the business open sign again?
Yeah. So we're putting a lot of different groups together. I was on the phone with some folks from the Restaurant Association last night talking about different models. I had a meeting with Hampton Beach yesterday, all the different stakeholders, or maybe the day before, all the different businesses and stakeholders. Okay, what would a model look like to get the beaches open? We're talking to the golf courses about getting them open. We're talking to the hair salons and barbers. What would it look like? What would these new models and norms look like? So we're going down the path and trying to develop plans and new guidelines and documents that we would use to lean on if and when, and there will be a when, we start to reopen things. It isn't this open the state or don't open the state. That's not going to happen, nor mm-hmm. should it, for obvious reasons. You have to open things gradually. You have to start talking about it carefully, opening them gradually. We've walked a really good line so far, a good mm-hmm. balance of creating flexibility, allowing as many businesses as we can to stay open. And it's more than most, frankly. We still have the stay-at-home order, but also realizing, you know, we're not going to go and arrest people for going on a walk, you know, and that you see some of that kind of stuff going on in other parts of the country.
Oh, yeah,
we struck
yeah.
a really nice balance here in New Hampshire, and we're already putting the teams together, designing the plans, if and when, how to get open. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen next week. It might not even happen in the beginning of May. We just don't know because these numbers move so quickly. We're not on a downswing yet. Like mm-hmm. we've plateaued with our numbers, and we're remaining steady. That's a good thing. But it isn't like you hit a peak and start going down like
right.
you see those smooth bell curves on TV. That's not real. Those are theoretical curves.
Right.
So we've kind of hit a peak of the number of cases. Like every day we see 50, 60 new cases a day. We had nine, I think we've had like 15 more deaths in the past week at least. Okay, these are real numbers. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
you can't just jump start everything tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You got to inch your way through it.
Right.
And there's certain things we can open faster than others, and those will take priority. Certain things that are going to have to wait. you know, I was talking to the folks over at the Verizon, the SNU Center and the Verizon Center in Manchester, and, mm-hmm. and they've said, you know, they said, look, it's we don't see any pathway forward this summer bringing thousands of people to an indoor event. I mean, who's going to do that? That wouldn't be necessarily be responsible. So, you know, that's going to be some of the hardest stuff that we can possibly sure. open down the line. So, and they understand that, and God bless them. I think Tim Beckert and his team over there do an amazing job. They're taking a lot of hits, making a lot of sacrifices, and they want to open as soon as possible, but they understand they have to be smart and safe about how to do it.
Two things, we'll let you go. Friday, tomorrow is when the Supreme Court, Superior
the
Court,
Superior
here's
Court,
the case.
Yeah. Is that a question? I think so. I'm not even really paying attention.
All right, well, then.
I'm really not. I know they've sued. I know the Democrats are suing me to injunct and slow down all the money that could possibly go out to businesses. It's crazy. But beyond that, I'm focused on managing the state. So I don't know. Is that the timeline? Not even paying attention.
And great answer. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, Chris.
I should probably ask someone to find out.
No. And thank you for what you're doing. Yeah. We do appreciate the transparency. We do appreciate everything. And let me finish this by saying, yes, I am a boomer and damn proud of it, Chris.
There you go.
Just saying. All right?
Hey, thank you guys very much. Keep up the good work. Be safe, everyone. We're going to get through it. We really are.
Yeah,
we got
we
a
are.
Path here.
Yeah,
thank you,
right.
Governor.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right,
Vanessa.
See ya.
That's
Bye.
Great. You know, I totally appreciate. He's making a lot of personal sacrifices because he's everywhere all the time. I mean, he's everywhere all the time. So he's not hunkered down at home with the rest of us, with the whole family. He's out there. He's on the move. He's doing stuff. You know, answering stuff live on the television in the afternoons. I mean, I think that's just amazing because the questions just keep coming out. I mean, he's like, you know what? Actually, I may not know the answer to that, but I'll look into it. Thank you for the question.
Yep.
You know, and he's just doing the best job he can to lead us through this, and it is a through thing. And you know, I'm just all about, you know, there are the legislature is represented on this committee that he put together. So let's get the job done, talk about where the money needs to go, and get it there when it comes in.
And by the way, if any of you are offended that I stood up for boomers everywhere, I don't care.
Yeah,
just saying. 8:33, taking
no,
a break.
We don't.
Back with more.